A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over and betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. The word of the Lord. It's so hard to change, isn't it? Try as we may, and with the very best of intentions, most of us take years to overcome bad habits. The new Christians of Corinth were no different, and they had some very bad habits to uproot. In the first part of the selection from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, which I did not read, the apostle chides them for their selfish divisions. For today, I only wish to highlight verse 23. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Some take Paul's words literally, that he received the tradition from the Lord. But since he was not at the Last Supper, this means Paul would have had to have had a vision from the risen Lord. While we know that he had several visions and extraordinary experiences, it is doubtful that this was the case here. The direct intervention of Christ is almost universally rejected by most scripture scholars today. He probably received a tradition which goes back to the Lord. That is, it originated with Jesus and was transmitted by the apostles and disciples to each succeeding generation of new Christians. And it still happens, even to our own day. Although Paul boasts that he received everything from the Lord, it is more likely, as I say, that he received the tradition of Jesus' words and knowledge and deeds from the Jerusalem community. Paul has to remind the Corinthians of the origin, the nature, and the significance of this sacramental rite. He definitely indicates that it is historically based on the happenings in the upper room on the night in which the Master was betrayed. Nothing is older in the story of Christianity than this. Sometimes people are confused about the importance and relationship of scripture and tradition. It seems to be like the proverbial chicken and egg, which came first. But Paul makes it clear today that in this case, oral tradition existed first and even years before it was written down. This account of Jesus taking the bread and wine is an important link in the long chain of continuing continuity stretching back to the times before the Gospels and epistles were written. Paul insists that he is handing on or delivering what he himself received. In other words, we are witnessing the very moment of tradition becoming scripture. The disciples of Jesus were celebrating the Eucharist before it was ever written down and described in the Word of God. It was already a part of the apostolic tradition. Catholics are not sola scriptura, that is, scripture alone, Christians. We know, as John wrote near the end of his Gospel, that if the things Jesus said and did, the books could fill the whole world. There is much more to our faith than is what is found described in Scripture. What we call tradition comes from a number of places, from our creeds, from our devotional practices, from community prayer and daily life, and from the teaching of the apostles and their successors. There are traditions with a small t that change periodically, and then there are important traditions with a capital T that are essential to the very nature of the Christian life. One of these would be the institution of the Eucharist, as presented by St. Paul in today's scripture reading. It is for the apostles and their successors, guided by the Holy Spirit, to determine and guard the essential traditions. When Paul reminds the Corinthians how they should celebrate the Eucharist, he begins with very simple, yet strikingly powerful words. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. On the night he was betrayed. This is possibly our oldest ritual formula. It not only sets the scene for what is to follow, but it expresses the exact origin of the Eucharist, its circumstances and time. So our Christian worship has an exact historical reference point. It all started on the night he was betrayed. Paul brings out the poignant truth that on that feast of self-giving love that was to bring such strength and consolation to Christians until the end of time, was instituted at the very moment when human weakness and wickedness was betraying the Savior to his enemies. This is the moment of confrontation when the powers of darkness are conquered by the light and truth. All the dark nights that will bear down upon Jesus' disciples are defeated by this mystery. Every time the Eucharist is celebrated, the redemption is strengthened. This is why the tradition that St. Paul and every Christian hands on since the night Jesus was betrayed is so vital. We are making present once again the eternal divine act of Jesus Christ, the redemption of the world.